Mundus podcast.
So now onto the thing about your top five, in no particular order, top five favourite shows from new Who or old Who. So any that come into your mind in terms of top five?
Yeah, I was having a think about this. And, you know, I have to be honest, I kind of have become disillusioned with Doctor Who recently. I've got a rule where if after three episodes of something, if it's three episodes bad in a row, I generally drop whatever it is I'm watching.
Yeah.
And it happened that Doctor Who had about six really bad episodes in a row. And, you know, it was with great distress that I kind of stopped watching it, only, you know, sort of put it to the side and thought, well, you know, I'll come back to it. And I realized sort of last week that my wife and I were about a year and a half behind on Doctor Who because it's just been so bad. I mean, it was a time when I would never miss it, you know. Mm, and we hadn't seen, you know, a ton of episodes. So we sort of caught up over the last couple of weeks. Anyway, so I put some thought to this.
Mm.
And I thought, you know, what are my favourite episodes? And I also put some thought to Doctor Who in general. And I'll get to my top five in a second. But I thought it's easy to look back in hindsight and say, you know what, the old series better than you, blah, blah, blah. But then when I started thinking about these top five episodes, I thought, you know what, in the old series, there were a lot of stinkers as well.
Mm-hmm.
So it's very unfair of me to sort of drop Doctor Who like that, and that's why we went back to it. Anyway, back to my top five, and this is in no particular order. But I would have to say Genesis of the Daleks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Talons of Wang Chang.
Yeah.
I would have to say, just out of sheer coolness when I was a child, the Five Doctors. If they did the Five Doctors now, I think everyone would be looking at it and think, what a load of rubbish. Mm-hmm. But as a child, I thought it was amazing, and it was cute, and it was beautiful, and it was everything that I wanted to see when the Five Doctors came out. So the Five Doctors, we're up to three, aren't we? Number four, I have to say, probably this is where it's getting tough, the last two. I have to say the very first Christopher Eccleston episode, simply because it brought Doctor Who back, and it was just wasn't the best episode of the new series of Doctor Who, but it was the most exciting, you know. It was incredible for those of us who loved Doctor Who and hadn't seen it for so many years, and then all of a sudden it was back. It was incredible. So that's number four. And number five, I'm going to go, and I'm going to be slightly disingenuous here, but I'm going to go with the two Peter Cushing movies. I'm going to use them as one episode, just simply because they are just so fantastic. Because, you know, Doctor Who, just think, Doctor Who was on the big screen, and, you know, it was great. Fantastic stuff.
So have you purchased the new fancy remastered versions?
I don't know if they're fancy remastered versions or not. When did fancy remastered versions come out?
A couple of months ago, I think, the one Blu-ray.
No. I've got, when they came out in DVD a couple of years ago.
Oh, right. Yeah, I'd heard the word, because they had a few screenings recently.
Today.
Yeah, because they've made everything a lot nicer, and it's all on Blu-ray and stuff. So so I was also going to ask you as well. So who was your first doctor then?
Tom Baker.
Tom Baker, right? You see, because when you to go back through your top five there, Genesis seems to be like almost like a standard in everyone's top five. Because yes, I think some people do criticise for being a little bit overlong at times, you know, kind of. But it's when Davros is right, you know. I don't think it ever got Davros as perfect as that. Do you know what I think?
Well, it was what it was. It was telling a story that, you know, as we said, that it was the beginnings of the Daleks, and Davros was never meant to be anything more than that. But you know, he was the sort of the Rudolf Hess character, or the, you know, the Dr. Death, you know, in this Nazi allegory that we're seeing. And but he's kind of elevated to something much more, just by sheer popularity of that story. And, you know, they try to capture that, which is something that they kind of tried to do with the Weeping Angels. You know, Blink was such a beautiful episode. You know, it was such a wonderful episode.
Yeah.
But they've tried to recapture that beauty and that horror and that interest by bringing these, you know, the Weeping Angels back, but all they're really doing is diluting them as a villain.
There's always a tendency with television and film where they try and kind of replicate things. See something like The Matrix, for instance, in terms of films. The first one was really good, but then they thought, oh, we've got something here. We'll do a second and third, and they were never as good. You know, and I think you're right, it is diminishing returns. But the Weeping Angels are still good, but they'll never be as good as Blink.
I think no. Well, that's a debate. I would say they've been diluted. Their impact is definitely by being diluted. And there was Angels Take Manhattan.
Yeah.
Which was quite a good use of them. Yeah. However, you know, they've kind of changed the mythos, the rules around them all of a sudden. Now it's almost they're an infection of statues, aren't they? You know, and having the Statue of Liberty as a Weeping Angel, and I watched that and I just thought, yeah, someone's going to notice that, surely.
Just a little bit. Yeah, just a little bit. And in terms of Talons, I think Talons is just captures what was brilliant about this era of Doctor Who, in the sense of, you know, you've got that brilliant Victoriana setting and Tom Baker, you know, really loving the fact that he's dressed as Sherlock Holmes and stuff. And it just worked really well, you know.
And it had you know, the creepiest monster in the universe. You know, this thing just gave me nightmares as a child. You know, Mr. Sin, that was just unbelievable. A few months back, I was speaking with my brother and we were just talking about it. And he was saying that, just randomly, we were just talking about episodes, and he just randomly said, "You know who? You know what monster really scared me? It was Mr. Sin." And I said, "Yeah, me too." You know, and we never discussed it. Just a really creepy invention, really.
Five Doctors is a classic, and I don't care what people say. It's a greatest hits package, and it works perfectly. And if people don't like it, but I think it's brilliant.
Well,
in my opinion,
I think it's fantastic. I mean, it's. I remember when it came out. I was very young, but I just remember being so excited, and I sat up late to watch it, and it didn't matter that it didn't kind of make sense. And, you know, I just watched it for what it was as a child and just loved every minute of it. And I remember then I taped it onto VHS, and I watched it over and over and over and over and over again till I was almost word perfect. You know, I kind of knew it by rote. And I remember sitting down. I told my wife about this. And she, whenever she thinks about it, she just sort of shakes her head. I wrote down this elaborate equation to try and work out why it was that every single time someone crossed that chessboard, it was different. So I figured that pi had something to do with it, and it had something to do with three times going over there. You got three goes, and it had to do with who was placed on what square. I had the whole thing mapped out. I mapped out where the Cybermen were. I mapped out where the coins were, and I mapped out where people were. I was trying to work out this elaborate rule set. And then 20 years later, or how long it was, maybe not 20 years, maybe 10 years or whatever it was, when the DVD finally came out, and there was the commentary, and I found out that just was whatever they felt like. There was no rhyme or reason to it. I remember feeling quite disappointed about that. But all in all, an amazing story. I mean, you had Cybermen, you had a little bit of Daleks, you had a little bit of everything, didn't you? You had Yetis, you had the Rastan Warrior robot. Amazing.
That was brilliant, yeah.
Rassilon, the Dark Towers, Time Lords, you know, everything. Had everything.
I think people would really like something like that for the anniversary special. But whether it would work or not, or the general public would be a bit bemused by it, I don't think it would quite work, you know.
Yeah, I always think multi-doctor stories, it's just too easy to do them badly. I think the only reason that the Five Doctors work so well is because I was so young. It'll be interesting to see what they do for the anniversary special. It'll be very interesting.
The next one was Rose, and yeah. Right, it isn't the best story in the world, but at the end of the day, it's where it all started again. So I can understand why you've got that there. Because I think the Nestine were quite underused because they're such a brilliant thing in Spearhead and like Terror of the Autons and stuff. So I felt like they were a little bit tagged on, but just to have it back and everyone suddenly thinking Doctor Who was cool again was brilliant, wasn't it?
Well, yeah, absolutely. I hate the Autons. I think Autons are the worst.
Oh, really?
Oh, I can't stand them. They're just stupid. Who is going to build a statue with a gun in it just for the hopes that it might get animated? A load of rubbish. Anyway. No, never liked the Autons. But anyway, I remember when I found out that the first Eccleston story was going to be an Auton story, I thought, oh, God, no. But anyway, that didn't matter because Doctor Who was back. And I remember, you know, getting quite excited because we all knew Doctor Who was coming back. And I remember sitting, I was, because, you know, they did quite a big campaign about it. And I was sitting in the cinema, and I can't remember what I was watching now. But I remember just sitting there, and all of a sudden, the screen, you know, we went to the previews, and the screen went black, and in blue writing, it came up and it said, "Guess who's back?" And all you heard was the TARDIS, you know, the TARDIS screeching noise, the yeah. groaning noise. And, you know, it tingles and I got little goosebumps.
Yeah, yeah.
And I thought, that's amazing. You know, it's so good to hear that. It wasn't the theme tune. It wasn't anything like that. It was hearing the TARDIS noise just was incredible, you know, and that's what we all were waiting to hear, really. So it didn't matter too much about the story. I think it was an interesting choice by Russell T. Davies. I think it was a good choice because the second episode, because the second episode of Eccleston was so much better than the first. And I think it was a wise choice not starting the season off with your best episode.
Yeah.
But it was great, you know. We had Doctor Who back and all was right with the world finally.
So in the final choice was the Peter Cushion films. When did you first watch the films then?
I was how old was I? I was 6 or 7 years old. And I actually didn't get to see it. I had a horrible, horrible headache. It was the worst headache. And I knew it was coming on, and I was so upset because I just couldn't. This headache was making me feel sick. And my parents were having Chinese for dinner, and then we were going to sit down and watch Doctor Who and the Daleks. But I was so sick, I didn't have any Chinese. I didn't get to see Doctor Who and the Daleks. And I went to school the next day, and everyone was talking about Doctor Who and the Daleks and playing Doctor Who and the Daleks. And I'd not seen it, and I was so upset about the whole thing. And so I actually didn't see the films until I was about 25, 26.
Right.
When they were first released on VHS.
Yeah.
Because I just kept missing them. So, I was quite old before I actually saw them. Because, you know, you've got to remember back then you couldn't buy DVDs or VHS videos in. And when I was, you know, 7 or 8 or whenever, however old I was, no one had VHS players. You couldn't videotape them. So, I had a long wait, really.
It's nice to see them with the technicolour and the better budget and stuff like that, and just seeing what the Dalek City looks like, isn't it? You know, it's nice. I mean, I wonder if they ever plan to do a third one. I always wondered about that.
Yeah, I do remember reading that had the second film done better than it did, they would have done a third. But the second film apparently was not very popular at all. So that was that. I've always considered them to be, you know, of their time, interesting stories, you know, interesting adaptations of the original stories, and, you know, just fun to watch, really.
Do you think Doctor Who could ever work on the big screen?
Yeah, I think it could. I don't think it's one of those things that yes, you could do, but it would. I would say you'd have to go down the Star Trek route and wait till the series ended.
Yeah,
and then do a few films after that. I think that would be quite an interesting way of continuing the story. But you'd have to have something very, very good for it to be well received. There's always rumours floating around about being a Doctor Who film. But, yeah, it could do. But while it is a full-blown television series and still running, I would say no.
Yeah, when the Harry Potter director was saying that would be a reboot and stuff like that, that wouldn't work. You know, when the series is still on, it just
not while the series is still running. No. I know that there was a bunch of rumours about an American version of Doctor Who coming out and a film version and this, that and the other thing. But I always think, you know, just it's a franchise, it is what it is. And it's popular because of its quirkiness. A reboot, an American reboot, wouldn't work, and a film, while it's still on television, I wouldn't think would work either. I mean, I'm just trying to think now. The only series that I can think of that has had a film while it's still being in production on television is The Simpsons. I can't think of anything else.
X-Files that had one film.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
It's true, yeah, The X-Files.
Yeah.
The X-Files did.
And they extended a plot line from the show, so it kind of...
Yeah.
It was a spin-off in a sense. So that wasn't that good work in that sense.
Yeah, that kind of did work. I mean, that whole season was a lead-up to the film.
Yeah.
And then they did a second film like that, didn't they?
Film was a bit rubbish. Yeah.
But that kind of disregarded everything that happened in the series.
Yeah, it wasn't pretty good. No. I don't know what they're doing with that.
I didn't see that.
I don't know.
Prove me wrong. If they want to do a film, prove me wrong.
Indeed.
You know, but it'd have to be something very special. And, you know, as much as I love Doctor Who, the quality of the storylines of late have not been genius.
Can I ask you one question? Where did your attention start to wane? Because you said that was all six or so episodes that kind of made you go off a bit.
Well, to be honest, for a long time, I'd been dissatisfied with the way Doctor Who had been going. But I think about halfway through the middle of halfway through the last David Tennant series, things had kind of gone. You know, they'd really lost their edge. There were some grand ideas, but the payoff was always quite bad. The first Matt Smith, and this is not saying anything, it's Matt Smith, because I think he played the Doctor interestingly, and he did some really great work. But I think his tenure as a Doctor has suffered with really subpar stories. Really subpar. I mean, there's been some good ones.
Yeah.
But for the most part, it's been quite bad. And we ended up with, you know, the end of his first series with just the most ridiculous ending. You know, it was just another big red button that resets everything. And, you know, we just have a bunch of stories that make absolutely no sense. You know, I was watching, which episode was it? It was the episode with the box, you know, those little black boxes. What was that called? Skull Invasion or something? No.
Yeah, that I'm trying to
remember. It was called Power of Three. Power of Three. So I was watching that, and I just thought, God, this makes no sense. You know, you have these guys walking around looking a bit like Bane, you know, with these gas marks infused into their faces. What purpose did they serve? No one knows. They were picking up people and taking them to a spaceship. And what were they doing there? No one knows. You know, why were they injecting these people with sedatives and taking them to a spaceship and leaving them there? It made absolutely no sense whatsoever. And I was looking at these episodes just thinking, God, come on. How can you get Sherlock so right? And Doctor Who, the show that you're supposed to love, you know, talking just to Stephen Moffat here, the show that you left a Steven Spielberg film to be the showrunner of, how could you get that so wrong? You know, it just boggles my mind.
I always think Stephen Moffat's is a great writer of stories, but I don't think he's particularly very good at doing the big arc. And I think that's a very difficult job to be the showrunner and get that right. And you either good at that or you're not. And I think he's good at stories, but whether he's good at arcs and makes them a bit too complicated, I don't, you know. It's...
Well, there's no payoff. Well, the payoff is just rubbish. I don't necessarily think you need to have a big arc every year, do you? I mean, it gets a bit tedious after a while, surely.
I think people think you have to have a big arc these days.
But I don't see why. You know,
I mean, Russell T Davies, some of his were more subtle arcs, you know, they weren't kind of ramming it down your throat sort of thing. Well, and I think they worked better.
I think they all were very, I mean, I think they all kind of rammed these arcs down your throat. And I don't think you need an arc, really, to be absolutely honest. You don't need to have a thread running through. You don't have to have every time the Doctor meets a new companion, she ramming her tongue down your throat, you know, his throat. You don't have to have all these things. There seems to have been this reoccurring stuff over and over and over again. Why not just take a step back for 10 minutes and have a think about it and say, okay, let's actually focus on really good stories.
I would like a season without an ongoing arc. I think that would be interesting. I think it would make a change, wouldn't it?
Yeah, I think it would. I don't think there's any need to have a huge ongoing arc that you're ultimately going to be dissatisfied with in the end. It was fun with the first series. I think, actually, the first series was clever in the arc, you know, the bad wolf thing, in that you didn't kind of realise it until sort of right in the middle. But the arc is kind of jammed down your throat right from the very beginning. As soon as you actually start watching the series, you think, oh, well, here we go. This is that. You think, oh, this is going to be the arc for the, or this is going to be the general tone for the series. I just think you can do a little bit better than that. That's my thing. If you're listening there, Stephen Moffat, just do better. Better than this.
My best podcast.